Iniesta, Messi.
And Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Calhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Muller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, beating Patrick Vieira. Ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
So Kobe Bryant comes out and says he credits soccer for giving him his basketball vision.
I'm just saying.
It's amazing because what he said is so true.
It is. Triangles.
Triangles.
Two options all the time.
Exactly. You're thinking of four instead of two, right?
You know, he shouts out AC Milan. Okay, I had to say it. But no, he does. He grew up as an AC Milan fan in Italy and then, of course, Barcelona. But again, if you think of the context of it, all kidding aside and taking my bias out of it, those two teams at the time that he's talking about, you know, revolutionizing the way a game is played. And again, the triangle, again, triangle offense in basketball.
Right.
He references the Spurs, too, and saying, you know, a lot of their international players.
That's
so
it.
They already get it.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, seeing things and patterning and so on. And we've always said that, too, Reg, even, you know, to never was or has-beens like us, you know, drinking our beer after our Friday night kick around.
That's it.
Is so much of the game that you see that we play in a small game is basketball based.
Right.
So I guess if Kobe said it, is this another one of those times when we were right? But it was interesting. It's interesting to hear, like, one of the greatest athletes ever
credit soccer
for
part of his career, right?
And I guess, Reg, maybe we've heard maybe European or South American or African players, right, or athletes, I should say it.
Yeah.
And, you know, their love for soccer. But here you have an American, you know, a North American player.
Exactly.
Right. And I think that's really showing us, you know, where we've come with this game that we love so much. And that was pretty cool to hear a superstar athlete in another sport give credit to his love of
football.
Yeah.
Another episode of the Football Weekly podcast. We can be reached at footballweekly.com. That's FUTBOL weekly.com. on iTunes,
Stitcher. I've been waiting to say that all week. Stitcher,
Player FM,
something catcher,
tune in. There's many different podcatchers out
That's
there that you can get
say,
our podcast on.
You Reggie's can, helping me with
exactly,
being more technical.
Exactly. You can submit your email and get our episodes via email. There's so many different ways. You can get us on Twitter. Football, FUTBOL, underscore weekly. Joe, your Twitter handle?
Here's what is it? Joe Cola 4?
Joe Cola 4.
Sure.
My Twitter handle?
Reginaldinho. Something?
Reginaldinho_5.
I'm just trying. I don't know. Find it. Dial
next,
up.
Next week's the final, Joe. You have to get it right.
I got to do it. I said Stitcher.
Different
podcatchers.
Podcatchers and Stitcher. Yeah. I gotcha.
All right.
So, guys, stay tuned. We'll be talking about... Well, actually, you know what? We have an interview this week with...
pretty good one.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you who it is. Well, you have to stay tuned and listen. We're going to be talking about a bunch of different things throughout, maybe a little bit of Serie A. Canadian national team might have a new member.
Interesting.
TFC has a new goalie. We spoke to Paulo a couple of weeks back, and that was one of his Christmas wishes for this team, is to get a goalie. And it looks like we got a good one, or TFC got a good one.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about a little bit of the European club rankings, and we're going to revisit our talk about the World 11. because the second, third, fourth, and fifth team came out, and I honestly think two of those teams can beat the first team.
Yeah. But
we'll talk about that when we get back. Sit back, relax, and take in the Football Weekly podcast. We'll be back after this. So this week we want to start off the show with a shout out to our newest members of the Football Weekly Twitter family. We've reached international levels, Joe.
That's what we do.
We're reaching as far as Finland now.
That's amazing. Welcome.
Welcome to Akusti Salonen from Finland, who started following us this week. And we also want to say a special thank you for following to Thomas Cramarosa.
And helping getting our word out.
Had a listening party, I think.
Listening party. Way to go.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the Football Weekly family. Go to our Twitter account, football_weekly. Follow. We're very witty. We always have something good to say. So, Joe.
Yes, sir.
We're going to rehash, actually.
Oh, jeez.
The World 11. You know why? Because.
We said so again?
Well, the reserves teams are out now.
Yeah, these.
And I honestly think that the second team will beat the first team.
Well, that back four is actually a back four.
Well, exactly. And I think we should, I guess we got to give the players, eh?
Okay, well, let's start in net, which I still think it should be Buffon, but they give it to...
David De Gea from Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Can't argue. I still would like to see Buffon a little bit higher than where he is, but...
I can live with that.
I can't really argue that. And the back four is just...
This should be the back four of the first team.
Well, we spoke about it last week. David Alaba.
Uh-huh.
Last week, right?
Yes, sir.
Philip Lahm.
Yes.
Said that last week.
You're right.
Gerard Pique.
Check.
Said that last week.
That's right.
Jordi Alba.
Said it too.
Said that last week.
Yeah, that's a back four.
That's the back four.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the one.
In the midfield, have Eden Hazard, who had a pretty good season last year. Can't deny, I guess.
Yeah, especially if we forget what happened this year.
Yeah, right.
Well, Mourinho
happened to him, I think.
Yeah.
Your buddy, everyone's favorite, Toni Kroos. Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's a great midfielder, but this past year?
Great.
I think so, Reg. Mm. I think you could say that career-wise. Mm. I'd still put Rakitic in there.
Well, you'll be surprised where Rakitic ended up.
Don't. Anyway, who else do they have there?
The last one in the midfield is Yaya Toure.
Yeah, I like Yaya.
Okay, I'll take that. Up top?
Oof.
Zlatan?
He's all right.
Don't even have to say his last name.
Jeez.
Robert Lewandowski?
Not
bad.
Yeah.
Luis Suarez?
All he does is score.
And pretty much. We'll talk about that, too. let me ask you a question, though, Joe.
Talk to me, Reg.
So... The way I look at the back four is, if I had this back four, how many goals would we leak? Okay?
Now, you talking about the first one or now this one?
The first team.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I have a striking partnership of Zlatan, Lewandowski, Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
Going up against Dani Alves, Sergio Ramos, Thiago Silva, Marcelo. My question is this. How many goals does Luis Suarez get? Eight? Nine?
Yeah. So, I mean, especially the fullbacks. If they're going to play fullback, of course they would. Marcelo and Dani Alves, not big fans of being defensive defensemen.
Defenders?
Yeah, they're not defenders. I mean, you know, the great wingbacks.
I guess. Great? You like that word, great, eh?
I'm using it a lot today. we mentioned this too. I think, that second team back line. That's the back line.
Well, it has to be.
That's the best.
It's got to be.
You know, so that, you know, just tell me where Rakitic ends up, please.
Well, before we get there, I'm going to give you your Gianluigi Buffon, who made the third team.
Okay, well, he should be in the first, but okay.
Some notable names that are from different world teams. I still can't believe this guy is even mentioned when you're talking about world anything.
Unbelievable.
Except, or maybe best hair in the world. I don't know. But
he took a free kick. Is that what happened? Did you have to take a free kick to get on this list?
Pretty much, I think. I think that's about it.
A defender.
David Luiz makes the third team. Crazy.
Beyond that, Reg, you can't be in the third team.
You can't make world team. He cannot make. Anyways, Jerome Boateng, we said last week. Javier Mascherano. A defender. Anyways.
Boateng got really no love. I mean,
not at all. Because the Messi thing, right?
Yeah, Messi dropped him. The internet killed him, and that's it.
And in the midfield, notable name, Verratti. We have Vidal. Up top, Aguero, Benzema, and Muller.
I mean, I'm okay with that, I guess. But Rakitic, again, he's not even in the fourth team. The third team.
No, he's not in the third team. We'll go to the fourth team.
Yeah.
The notable names on here, Vincent Kompany, Hummels, who we spoke about last week again. Wow. Pepe made the team.
Okay, move, please, Reggie. We're done.
Pirlo made it.
Stop, Reggie.
I have to say Alexis Sanchez made the fourth team. So
Pirlo and Sanchez are in the fourth team.
Yes.
Move on, Reg.
With Pepe.
Let's move on.
With Pepe from Real Madrid and Portugal. Pepe made it. Fifth team.
Who's in net?
Iker Casillas.
Okay, Reg, I think maybe it's time for us to go and
I think the show's over, eh?
It's a short show.
What is happening here?
Let's just move on.
But I have to tell you where Rakitic ended up. He ended up on the fifth team with John Terry and Wayne Rooney.
You're going to hear... this very that's oh wow,
it's so bad, eh?
But this is from FIFA.
I don't know who this is from. Yeah, it has to be a FIFA fifth pro world 11-15.
Wow.
with Douglas Costa, Wayne Rooney, and Carlos Tevez up top.
Tevez is in the 15. What do you have to do? You win,
you have to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona.
You score a ton of goals, you win the Serie A, Coppa Italia. Did they make it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Champions League finalists. Let's move on, Reggie. Please.
Yeah, you're right, because this is from last season.
Yeah, this is just unacceptable.
Yeah, that's it. There's only five teams, and Rakitic makes the fifth team.
Well, you know, Reg, I guess these are supposed to evoke
conversation
and, wow, you know, get opinions going, and it has. I mean, wow. Can we move on?
Yeah, I guess we should, eh?
Wow.
I guess we should. Our Canadian national soccer team is going to make a big... Well, hopefully they're going to make a big move.
Okay, that's good. Now you got me, you know, in a different kind of mode. Yeah, I like that. For sure. This is great news.
Of
potentially,
course
yeah.
I hope it happens.
Let them know, Reg.
For those of you that haven't heard, Canadian national soccer team is looking at getting a player out of the MLS that plays for the Vancouver Whitecaps, mm-hmm, named Gershon Kofi to... I love this term, Joe. They're going to try to expedite his passport.
It's great, isn't it? It's great.
For him to become a permanent citizen in Canada and play for the national team on March 1st against Mexico, I believe, in Vancouver.
This would be great. I mean, listen, he's a quality player. I don't care where he's from, and it's got nothing to do with,
right,
you know, favoring someone. He's a good MLS player. Up and coming, too. Like, I think he's only getting better. Watching the Whitecaps, he's always a name you hear.
Right.
Former Ghanaian Youth International.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think this would be great. Let's get this done. Whatever we need to do with the passport, let's do it.
How many countries have been doing this for years? Yeah, it's about time we get on board, right?
The Americans, and Klinsmann's taken a lot of flack for other things, which, of course, I think many people might think he deserves, for sure.
Right.
But for the fact of, you know, getting players to play that have some, you know, American ties or the possibility of playing for the United States, you know, like, it's a great idea. He's done great.
Yep.
So, hey, why not? That's the world we live in right now, in terms of players carrying different passports and so on, and making a choice to play for countries that they've, you know, called home or played in. You know, and I think here they talk about the precedent being set as Thiago Motta,
right,
being born in Brazil. And so on.
Even Diego Costa, he's Brazil, playing for Spain, right?
Mauro Camoranese,
all these guys
back in the day. I mean, so
if you can do it, you do it.
Absolutely. So it would be great to have Gershon Kofi as part of the Canadian national team. We were talking off air about, you know, his connection with Russell Tybert.
Right, exactly.
You know, they can just, you know, natural, you know,
partnership.
Partnership, yeah. Absolutely. And they could just transfer it, whatever you want to call it, to the international level. It'd be great.
It'd be awesome.
We're hoping for it. We're going to keep an eye on this situation. And hopefully by the next time we, you know, have a podcast or talk to you guys, we'll have some good news for that, yeah.
Hopefully. And I think we finally have one of those coaches for the national team that's going to be like, yeah, let's get this done. Just, I don't care what it takes, just do it. Instead of the guys that we usually have, and it's just like, we have a guy that's just like, get me the best players. I don't care.
I'll say this, Reg. I mean, Benito Floro's coming under a lot of criticism, as all international managers do for some things.
Right.
I think for this, we have to give them credit, is that they're trying to, you know, seek out players who could possibly, you know, take on citizenship and play for
the more the merrier.
Canada. Yeah, for sure.
The more the merrier. Yeah. And we're going to have a conversation actually next week with a youth coach that Joe knows. And we're going to discuss some of the up-and-coming youth players in the Canadian, I guess, setup, we want to call it.
Yeah,
even if they're in the setup yet.
Yeah,
doing big things in the NCAA, doing big things in youth soccer, even going abroad and playing. And big interview next, I believe it's next week, right, Joe?
You're the man. You're telling me when it's going to be on, buddy.
Okay, I think it's next week. I think we're going to put it on next week. We'll give you all that information at the end of the show.
Fantastic.
But moving on with this show, I was reading online about some club teams, Joe.
Told you to stay off
I know.
That internet.
I know. Came across the European club rankings. Top 20. Not going to give you the top 20. Not going to give you the
number
top
one, 10. AC Milan.
How'd you know? It's a swallow, actually. No.
Says Reggie.
No.
Sorry, I thought we were in a time warp and it was like, you know, 2007.
No, not quite.
Okay.
Not all quite. Right. So let's play a little game, Joe.
Games. I like games.
Let's play a little game.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a team name.
Yes.
And you tell me where they ranked.
Okay.
1 through 20. I'm not going to do them all. I'll give you maybe 5 or 6. You tell me where they ranked.
This is like a power ranking thing.
Power ranking thing. All right. Not based on money or anything like that. I guess just based on the weakness of their schedule. I'm sorry. The power of their schedule.
Yeah, we're going with that one.
So let's start off with, I don't know, let's flip a coin here. Barcelona.
20. one.
Close.
Got to be one.
Minus 19. Yeah, exactly.
Got to be one. They are. So we don't argue about that, Reg. Defending Champions League.
Yeah, last year. I guess my defending.
Ballon d'Or winners. All that stuff. Yeah, let's listen. It's Barcelona.
Tough to beat Sporting Guillaume. But okay. Reggie. Arsenal. What do you think Arsenal is? Top 20.
I'm going to say 7.
Getafe.
Getafe's in there.
They finish
seven.
They finish number 9. Champions. I wish the leaders of the leaders EPL are ninth.
I thought giving them 7, I was like, underhitting them. I thought, really, 9?
Yeah,
for the league leader in the EPL.
Yeah, the EPL's weak, and they're
and
bad.
And they're in the Champions League knockout stage.
Whatever.
Okay, Reggie. Whatever. I don't know.
Well, you'd be shocked about a couple of these other ones, too. Moving over to the Serie A, give me where you think Juventus finishes in this European club ranking.
I'd say 4.
Whoa, right on, Joe. 10-game win streak will do that, I guess, eh?
Wow. Yeah, well, hey.
Yeah, number 4, man.
Well, you know what? They should be.
Well,
up there, no?
Yeah,
I mean, 10-game winning streak, defending champs.
Definitely.
It really doesn't give love to the league leader again.
Well, at least they put them in the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. that's a good point.
Yeah. Bayern Munich.
2.
No, Joel. 3.
Really?
Put them 3rd.
But they only have a 150-point lead in the Bundesliga.
They have a 150-point lead every year in the Bundesliga. Wow. Anyone can coach that. Guardiola proved that.
No, Reggie.
No?
Wow.
I mean, anyways.
Give me
another
one.
They're 3rd. Your favorite, Real Madrid.
2.
No, Joe.
But it's Real Madrid.
Number 5.
Wow.
Number 5. The 3rd best team in a 2-team league is number 5 in the ranking.
You're on fire today, Reggie.
Wow. So where do you think they put PSG?
Well, because of process of elimination here, they made them 2?
They did. The league leaders in league. Ugh.
Okay, but you did hear what's going to happen, right?
What's that?
PSG and Bayern Munich are going to play once a week.
Yeah?
Sorry, once every 2 weeks. Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For how many points?
17.
17
I don't
points.
Know why they didn't get the round number. They just 17 points. The winner of that 17-leg playoff will play...
Who? Barcelona?
No.
No, because Barcelona might lose that. So,
they're going to play.
Who?
Are you ready for it?
Orlando City.
How did you know, Reg? What are they? I mean, wow.
I don't know.
They're number 2?
They're number 2.
Oh, God. So they don't take strength of schedule into the county.
Well, how can they? If you look at the top 5, how can they?
EPL just gets no love here. I don't understand this.
It's okay. It's just a rough and tumble league. It's not technical. It's just fast guys kicking the ball around. Like a guy on our team, Mario, used to say, the EPL is just seeing who can kick the ball the most parallel to the sideline.
Great that he uses that lingo. That's awesome.
So, I guess. Wow. I guess there's no love for. I guess there's no love for anybody that's not in La Liga or in Barcelona. But speaking of Barcelona, I got Luis Suarez, and I guess it's all competitions, eh? When they do the goals,
I think so. Well, this is a lot, so it must be.
It's a lot. If someone scored 29 goals at the end of the season, it's amazing.
He can't have that, Reg.
He does.
Wow,
29 goals, 13 assists, and they have about 17 games left. And wow. they took a month off in December, and he still has 30 goals.
Wow.
So,
listen,
all you La Liga guys out there,
we're not saying that Barcelona and Real Madrid aren't these great teams that would not excel in other leagues. But the lack of competition, and you want to see these players and teams be challenged weekly to get the best out of them.
Right.
Right now, I'm not sure it's happening. I mean, these lopsided wins by Barcelona and Real Madrid. And listen, I could watch a game in La Liga that's not with Barcelona and Real. I enjoy it. But the disparity, there's something to be said for it.
Yeah, but it's like watching those games. It's like watching a tournament, a different tournament. Because
it's just
a tournament between the other 16 or 17 teams that are left.
That's right. And, you know, and we've said this before, Atletico has closed the gap. But it's almost like they get so much praise for it because it's such an oddity that they're giving them a game.
Right.
So,
that's why the beat goes on. That's why you always cheer for the team that's playing against one of those stronger teams, right?
Yeah.
The underdog.
Yeah, and almost like they, you know, especially teams in relegation battles, they just kind of write those games off and maybe rest players. They don't even put any weight in it because, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to wear themselves out for the next game that might actually save them. So.
Right, exactly. Swansea in...
Wow.
And the EPL has made a coaching change.
Wow.
Joe, you want to discuss that?
Well, I think this is happening more and more often. I think in a year where you have Claudio Ranieri, almost 70 years old.
Right.
You know, having Leicester at the top of the EPL or close to it, right there.
He wins Coach of the Year, right?
Oh, he's
even if they finish fifth, I think he wins Coach of the Year.
Oh, he's got it. Absolutely, Reg. I mean, he's absolutely. So you have Francesco Guidolin, former coach of Udinese in Italy,
right,
and coached some other teams as well, and a very respected coach, I might say, in the Serie A.
Right,
good tactician, a lot of energy, gets a lot of the players. That's just one of the teams he coached. He's taken over the Swans.
Yeah,
I mean, wow, it's a.
I don't know much about him, but do you think he's going to get anything out of them like how Ranieri's done with Leicester City?
I think that's the hope. But it's a big story because you always had foreign managers. It's not a out there outreaching story having foreign managers go to the EPL.
Mm-hmm.
But to the amount of Italian based coaches now leaving and trying to leave,
right?
You know, and not only the big names, if you will, the Ancelottis of the world,
right,
but mid-level guys looking to go to England is impressive in terms of, you know, them wanting to branch out, reach out, and give it a shot. Listen, I have a soft spot for Swansea. I liked what they did years ago coming up, obviously with Jonathan de Guzman being part of that, and they played such nice football.
Traitor.
But we'll get to him later, but... I think it's worth a shot. I mean,
I like to see something like I like a team like Man City or Chelsea to do something like that instead of retreading the old names again. Goose Hiddink again.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to say Ancelotti again.
Yeah.
Guardiola again. Same big name coaches. You know, it's nice to give a lesser known, and even the coach Emery from Sevilla.
Sevilla. Well, he's been it's almost like the. You know, Diego Simeone in there, like they're just, they've had other offers. I know Simeone is more likely to leave soon.
Right.
But, Unai Emery was, you know, a lot of AC Milan fans were hoping he was coming there.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, having they have a good situation there, players, it's a buy-in. It's a good comfort level for him. But yeah, right. you'd think that a guy like him would definitely be one of the managers looking to move to the EPL. I would like to see him there, Reg. I would love to see him in there. He's a great coach.
Depends what team he takes over.
Sure, it's again.
Takes over Tottenham, then, well, I don't know.
All bets are off.
All bets are off. Hope he loses every game, but any other team. Okay. I know last week we spoke about Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid transfer ban.
Wow.
We're not going to talk about that.
No, we're not.
Do you want to?
We're going to ban the ban.
They got banned from making transfers because they're signing underage players. Just like Barcelona.
Really?
That's pretty much it.
It really held Barcelona back.
It really did.
And it really damaged them.
And on the day that they're banned, on the day that Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid's bans are over, they're going to sign 450 players.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Is what we're saying.
It doesn't matter. They'll still lose money, Real Madrid, even without making any transfers. But anyway, they're doing well anyway, right? Zidane, two
turned
wins.
Them around. It's amazing.
Two wins? What, 11 goals in two games?
Didn't have much to work with. It's silly, isn't it?
Oh, okay. My God. Anyways, moving on. I don't know.
Well, they did say, Ronaldo, sorry, Reg. No, Ronaldo did say this week that, you know, it was Zidane was just the right man. He's reinvigorated them. Oh, he's given them life again.
Is that right?
So, just saying.
Got the almost World Player of the Year needing someone to light a fire under him, eh?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Zizou's done it, apparently.
All right, two games in, we'll see.
Oh, jeez.
We'll see. I wanted to touch a little bit about on the transfers, but nothing's happening. I think Ashley Cole's coming to the Galaxy.
Well, yeah, I loved what you put on the Twitter. Yawn, like it's really.
Who cares, right?
I mean, 5 years too late.
Five.
Ten, maybe, I don't know. But again, it's
how many designated players does LA have?
Yeah, I know. How many are counting against that cap? You know, why bring this guy in now? I mean, we know
big
why.
Name.
We know
big
why.
Name,
yeah,
tickets,
exactly.
That's it.
You know, and this is, dare I say, is some of the stuff that we've talked about, all the advances the MLS has made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Javinko, of course, and guys coming in their prime
mm-hmm.
or just after it.
Yeah.
But this is the step back, I think.
Right.
You know, the type of stuff like this, when you're bringing a guy who's well beyond, you know, playing at a top level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, unfortunately, I think, hey, I'd love it if Ashley Cole comes in and just lights it up and rejuvenates his career. That'd be great.
Mm.
But, yeah, exactly. The likelihood of that isn't very high. And again, are we taking a step back in doing this in the MLS? But, hey.
Well, I thought we were getting away from
the retirement league. Yeah,
yeah, getting guys that just want that last two-year paycheck, right?
That's right, the club med thing, you know?
So. Yeah, so anyway, well, Steven Gerrard came over and said it's not a vacation, but
well, Steven Gerrard also said, yeah, he's vowed that he will be much better this year. And guess what, Stevie G, you can't be much worse.
You better be. So, you better be.
Yeah.
So that's the first half of our show. That's pretty much all we have to
we
talk about.
We flew with that,
yeah,
Rich.
Man. We're not wasting here. Any time here now. We're not wasting any time here. That took almost half
efficient.
An hour to do. But
efficient.
So we have an interview this week with a player. Joe, did you coach this guy?
I did. I had the pleasure of and still coach him when he comes back.
Okay.
Yes, Mathieu Leroy.
Right.
From UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham, mm-hmm. Down in the NCAA Conference USA. Great mm-hmm. conference. A lot of MLS, USL pro players come out of there. He's a center back. He made a few youth appearances for the Canadian youth national team. Most notably, he was a part of the U-17 World Cup team a couple of years ago. Traveled to they were in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so he's down there doing his thing. He had a great freshman year. Was hurt this year playing for the PDL champions in the PDL in the United States. United States and Canada with Kitchener. Canadian franchise winning. And, of course, a couple of players who were just drafted from Syracuse into the MLS were part of that team. So we have the interview with Mathieu, and just generally about, you know, life as a Canadian doing his thing in Division I, trying to live out his soccer journey and dream.
Okay, and we'll have that right after this.
That's a lovely touch. It has Giovinco on his way. Sebastian Giovinco! It's 2-2! Oh, it was splendid. Top draw, Sebastian Giovinco continues to live up to billing.
So this is our interview with Mathieu Leroy.
Okay, it's my pleasure. I'm here interviewing Mathieu Leroy, who plays currently at UAB in Division 1, down in Birmingham, Alabama. Mathieu, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So Matt, I mean, for me, this is pretty special. I've known Mathieu for about, let's say, about 6 years almost, going on that. I coached Mathieu before, and now watching him do his thing at UAB. A bit of a background, not only is he a Division I player now, playing down there in the Conference USA, a very good, tough conference in NCAA, but Mathieu also represented Canada on a few occasions and then at the youth level and went to the U-17 World Cup. It was in a pretty special place, right, Mathieu? Yeah. Where was that?
Dubai.
It was in Dubai, so not many people get to go to Dubai, and here's a young man who got to go there due to soccer. So, Matt, just want to ask you a couple of questions. What would you say is the favorite things about getting down, allowing yourself to play down in the States in a school like UAB, which has a good, rich soccer tradition?
Well, just playing down there in the States anyways, just, I guess, taking a little more, not, I wouldn't want to say seriously, but in a way, it's like it's bigger there than it is here.
It's a great opportunity for you, I'm sure. So how often are you guys training, like, let's say, in season?
We train every day except for the weekends off. Like 2 hours a day kind of thing.
So it's a full-time gig,
yeah.
Right? And not many people know, but you guys are training. It's like being in a professional environment because you guys are also training every month that you guys are there, correct? So even in the quote-unquote off-season, you guys are still getting together.
Yeah, we're still training. Right? And obviously during the spring season, we're still training.
Right, so you do have spring games as well?
Yes.
For sure. Why did you choose going to play in Division I soccer as opposed to maybe going to like professional environment right away? Because I know that was in a consideration for you.
I'd say going to a Division I instead of going into a professional environment because of time to develop and I guess education, something to fall back on.
Yeah, I think that was a big consideration for sure, yeah. You know, in case something doesn't work out, you still have some kind of fallback. You talked about time. Sometimes when we want to develop players, we want to make, we think there's like a guarantee where they only develop a certain way. So I think maybe for you, you were saying before that it might have given you more time to develop as a player, maybe see, you know, what's expected of you. I think a lot of people, especially us here in Canada, we think, especially when we use the hockey model, by 17 years old, you're already, or 18 years old, you're already in the pro.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe it's giving you more time that way. So in terms of that, what are some of your aspirations for, I guess, the upcoming year? I think it's interesting to note Mathieu was a all freshman in Conference USA your first year.
Yes.
Which is pretty fantastic. You made an appearance in every game, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Mathieu, and you know, played from 75 to 90 minutes every game. Mathieu had to redshirt this past year. When that means, you know, for those of you guys who are not aware, is you get to sit out because Mathieu actually had a pretty serious knee injury, but he's way upward and onward with his recovery. So for next year, we're looking for better, bigger and better things. What are some of your expectations maybe for you, for the team, and so on?
Well, for me, just to get better. Well, with my knee, of course, like, it's getting better. So, but as a player, like, try to be the best player I can be.
Yeah.
As a team, get better as well.
Yeah.
And win the conference because we haven't done that since I've been there.
And we'll be on, yeah. I think since Mathieu is our first, and there's a reason why Mathieu would be our first collegiate athlete that we're interviewing, really important to notice, or to note, I should say, that that's the goal, I would say, man. There's an NCAA tournament, just like you would see, like, you know, typical March Madness for basketball, but there is an NCAA soccer tournament, and the goal is every year for these teams is to do well in their conference and have a berth in the tournament. And of course, Mathieu mentioned about winning the conference tournament, which would be, you know, amazing, and you get automatic entry.
Yeah.
Now, Conference USA, because it's one of the strongest conferences in the States, they usually get a couple of entries, correct? So it's, you don't have to necessarily win your tournament to get in.
My first year, we didn't win our conference tournament, and we still got in.
Yeah, you know, NCAA, you got a bid to the NCAA tournament. A game which was lost in a heartbreaking penalty shootout. But again, Mathieu had a strong game in that. We try to keep up with that in terms of streaming games and so on. So, Mathieu, in terms of going forward, do you have professional aspirations?
Yeah,
and, you know, if you do, where do you hope to play again? You said get better every day, and that's exactly what we want to hear from you. But, you know, if things do go well for you and you're fortunate enough and you keep working hard, what might be some of your professional aspirations?
I mean, MLS, of course, I'm happy with the MLS. Like, I'd like to play in the MLS. But to where, like, which team, I don't think I have a preference, really.
Yeah.
Just as long as they,
you want the chance to play pro. In terms of that, so you're seeing a lot of guys that you know getting contracts and doing those things. Obviously, I guess that motivates you,
for sure, right?
So this past year, and in saying that, another stepping stone, which you had a great opportunity to play in, was the PDL, yeah. Professional Development League, and so on, Pro Development League, and you played with KW, Kitchener-Waterloo, yeah. And I know it got cut short because of injury, but you guys had a pretty special year there.
Yeah, we had a pretty good season.
And you guys were the USL champions.
Yeah,
right? So that must have been a pretty good experience as well.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was like a really good league to play in.
And you got a chance to play against other collegiate athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think on your team, I think there's potentially maybe four or so guys that were going to be in the MLS draft. Two for sure. And just a note of guys at Syracuse currently, Ben Polk and Julian Boucher played with Matthew on that KW team. So that was pretty amazing. Have that experience. Okay, so Matthew, what about in world football, right? Because we talk about pro game and we talk about Europe. Who's your favorite professional club team?
Well, for a while I didn't really have one. I watch, but I don't watch often. For it to pick, I'd say PSG.
So a PSG guy. Now the French culture is big in your world. So he's a French speaking guy. So he does like PSG. We've on our show we've joked it, you know. I don't really know a PSG supporter, a true one.
But. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a true fan, but I enjoy.
Yeah, but you enjoy them for sure. Yeah. And what about outside of that? In terms of, obviously, you cheer for Canada. Is there one player that maybe you look to in the world game? And you say, hey, I really like the way he plays, and I look to emulate. Or
center back wise. Like Thiago Silva.
Yeah, probably.
Of course.
Especially, yeah, for sure.
When I look at players, when I watch like professional games, I watch the center back play and stuff, but at the same time,
you're always watching now.
Yeah.
I guess what you're saying is you're watching a different way now. Yeah. Well, in his heyday, Thiago Silva was arguably the best center back in the world for sure, right? So that's not a bad choice at all. Yeah, I think I should have mentioned that. Mathieu is a center back. Thiago Silva scores a lot of goals as a center back too, and Mathieu is well within that as well. What about, is there anybody in the Canadian game or maybe somebody growing up, a guy you played with or against that, you know, really motivated you or pushed you in a certain direction that helped you a lot? You know?
All my teammates kind of motivated me to be better, whether it was on the field or off kind of thing, because I had a few friends I didn't hang out with off the field.
And you're a good teammate, so that was, you're always, again, Matthew's a pretty modest guy. He does show that all the time. He's always learning from everybody, and I think that's why you're getting to the spots you are. So, Matthew, what advice would you give to a young kid or someone who's asked you that, you know, has the aspirations to maybe play down south in the NCAA, maybe play professionally? What's some of the advice you would give them in terms of, you know, what they need to do, really?
If you know you have the talent and stuff, just work hard and don't take it for granted. The difference between you and somebody else is going to be how much hard work you put in compared to whoever else is trying to take your spot.
I think that's good advice. One of the things that we always talk about, this on our show with Reggie on the podcast, is that what you just said, the difference between being a pro or being the best or being very good is not very much in terms of maybe talent, but it's the hard work and putting in the effort. And I can speak firsthand by saying Mathieu is one of the hardest working people, never mind athletes, but one of the hardest working people that I've ever met, and he just accepts every new challenge as it comes. So Matt, we wish you all the best at UAB. We will be following you, definitely. And guys, Mathieu Laurent is one of the up and coming young Canadians that we will be keeping our eye on the Football Weekly podcast, and we'll probably have him on again. So Mathieu, we wish you well at UAB.
Thank you very much.
And no problem. And we look to also be looking to Mathieu in the summer, and whether it be in the PDL or League One, we'll keep you up to date on where he's at. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
So that was our interview with Mathieu Laurent. Well, Joe's interview with Mathieu Laurent, and
great young man.
Exactly. We're looking to have more players, you know, on the show. Like Joe has said many times, If you haven't heard your name, don't worry.
We'll get to you. We'll for get sure. you absolutely, to you for sure.
Yeah. Definitely, and especially when the summertime hits and you guys are playing, we will. We'll be around. Trust me.
For sure, you're back in town. We'd like to have you on, and right. we'll keep everybody in tune, especially going into the fall season and into your actually before that, even your spring seasons, your preseasons.
Right.
What you're doing, and so keep listening. We will mention you guys, and yeah, we just want to keep letting the people know what you're doing.
Definitely, definitely. So, Joe.
Here we go.
Guess what's back?
I'm excited, Reg.
Me too. It's the first time. It's the first time in 2016. I got to get my... I want to start this year off on a winning note. People...
Wow, that's pretty ambitious, Reg.
I'm trying.
Okay, buddy.
I'm trying. It's a new year, right?
Okay.
People, the flat four is back.
It's back.
It's four. Four. It's four. Four. It's four.
Okay, Reggie.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes. Yeah. We don't have to introduce what the flat four is. People know, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they should know. Okay. It's, you know, Reggie gets four questions. We yes. get it, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay. So, Reggie, Serie A team.
Oh.
You're a follower of this team. You're a supporter of the green and black.
Yes.
Of Sassuolo.
Okay.
Reggie, say it once more.
Sassuolo.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just comes right, rolls right off the tongue. So Reggie's actually wearing a supporter's scarf here. He's not, but you know, he should. You know what? Someone send us one.
Yeah, really? Anyway,
it's a swallow.
It's a swallow.
Supporter's scarf. Okay, Reggie, because you're such a big fan of them, okay, you're a fan in training of them. Mm-hmm. Who is Sassuolo's coach?
Oh, why are you asking me questions one, like this?
Good one. It's a good one.
Why are you asking me questions
yeah, good
like
one.
This?
It's a really good one.
Hint.
He coaches them. Okay, this player played in the Serie A.
Oh, God.
Not too long ago. He played on Roma with Totti. That's one of the clubs he played with.
What position did he play?
He's a midfielder.
What does his name start with?
He'll never get this one. No. I love it. E. And it's not Enrico. This is awesome.
His first name started with an E?
Yeah, you're not getting it.
Yeah, who cares? I don't know.
You going to throw the towel?
Yeah.
You should.
Okay.
Eusebio Di Francesco.
Why are you asking?
Great one. That's a great.
Does the booze ring round here in this stadium?
No,
that question doesn't count, man.
No, it should. It should because this is Sassuolo. He is getting such attention as a great young coach.
Yeah.
And you know what, Reggie? You should have been watching Serie A in the early 2000s. So shame on you. Okay. Shame on you. Okay. You should have known that.
You played for Roma, Saudi, right?
So absolutely. Yes, okay. Okay. So that was more like shame on you one. Okay. Since we've buried Reggie here, we're digging the hole, actually. We haven't buried him yet.
Okay.
What is Fiorentina's nickname? You know, like Arsenal are the Gunners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Manchester United, the Red Devils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Rossoneri.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
La Viola.
World class.
Wow. Reggie.
I'll take it.
Guys, are you taking this one in?
I'll take it.
You know, Reggie?
I know that one.
I got punched in the face there.
I know that one. You thought I was going to miss that one?
I thought we were... I thought you were going 0 for 4.
No chance, buddy. I know
that
you are.
That's amazing, thank Reg. You. Dare I say he's going to get this one too, guys.
Batistuta, man.
Well, there goes the other question.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
Who is Fiorentina's all-time top scorer?
You're kidding me.
I'm not. And that is? Reggie?
Gabriel Batistuta.
That is far too easy.
Batigol.
Wow. You're kidding me.
He is 2 for 3. Can Reggie go 75%?
Let's do this. Is it a Serie A question?
You're going to get this.
Of course I will.
This puts together your two loves in soccer.
Okay.
Ghana?
Yes.
And Serie A?
Oh, my God.
Okay, one of the loves.
So one of the two is not bad.
What Italian club did Abbi Di Pelle play for?
Italian club?
This is the one that's going to hurt you that you don't get, Reg.
Oh.
So, Abbi Di Pelle, we say, you know, a great, great player in African football history. One of the first to make waves, if not the first, in, you know, the European club system.
I can't see him in other than the Marseille jersey, but...
He did a fantastic job at Marseille.
Oh, man.
You're going to kick yourself.
It's not AC.
Don't get cocky, Reg.
Yeah, I shouldn't, eh?
Man, La Viola?
Yeah, man. No. I know things, man. I know things. Let me go. Hold on. Don't tell me the answer.
I'm not.
It wasn't Sassuolo. It wasn't Frosinone.
Just wanted to say, though, how nice that he pronounced those.
Yeah, beautiful.
Wow.
Give me the color of the team.
No.
It has to be.
Can't give you the color of the team. That's a giveaway.
So it's one of those.
You got one shot. Here you go. Ready?
Inter.
No.
Hmm.
So you give up.
No, I do.
So you went 50%.
Okay.
Torino.
Torino.
It's embarrassing.
Torino, the purple. No?
Close
purple?
Enough.
Red?
Maroon.
Maroon. Same thing.
Like Granata. So, Reggie.
Yes.
That's pretty good, buddy.
I got you with the La Viola, eh?
Amazing. Stunned me. Listen, so, if you...
That's what I do, guys.
For all of our listeners, people who have been listening for a while now, we always talk about... We talk about Sassuolo, for sure. Reggie's team.
My adopted team, yes.
We've talked about Fiorentina, the year that they've had.
Yes.
Although they dropped points to the formidable AC Milan this week.
AC Milan.
But, you know, we always talk about them and how... entertaining they've been under Paulo Sousa, and they're looking to make a few splashes in the transfer market. But we always have had a lot of love for players like Abbie Dipele, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right, one of my favorites, actually. Right. Used to love him. So,
right.
And Reggie, if I find the song one day,
yes,
about Abbie Dipele, that was done in Italian.
There's a song?
Oh, we might... open the show with it one day.
Oh, you know what? You have to get that to me then.
You know, so if anybody out there listening can find it and let me know, that'd be great.
A song about that.
Oh, it's great, Reg.
In Torino?
Yeah, listen, I won't sing it today, but I'll find it.
Okay. That was my favorite segment, the Flat Four. Now we're going to go into our second segment. What a hit.
Are you beauty! What a hit, son! What a hit!
This week's goal comes from... Joe, the Portuguese second division.
Amazing, Reg. You're just amazing.
The Portuguese second division. A team called Oriental Lisboa.
Look at this guy.
I know, I know.
La Viola, he says.
Hey,
amazing.
Man, what can I tell you? What
it's
can I tell
stuff.
You? I used to be a Serie A king back in the day. But
amazing.
Not anymore, when the league was actually pretty good. But it's getting there again, honestly. I'm starting to watch it again, so... we'll see what happens in the future. But Hugo Firmino hits a... well, go to the website and have a look. The call's in Portuguese, so I'm not even going to put the audio. And the guy pretty much says three words the whole time. And one of them is wow. So I just put it on the website. But you have to see this goal. Cracker.
Are you beauty! What a hit, son! What a hit!
So to end off this week's show, we're gonna go... through the Serie A. Last week we started with it. This week we're ending with it.
Reggie's favorite.
Because this is the time I can, you know, the show's over. I can sit back, relax, get the pillow, get some warm milk. We can talk Serie A. You can wake me up
stress.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
You can wake me up in the morning.
Okay, Reg. Right.
Go ahead, buddy.
So, again, Juventus rolls on again.
10th in a row?
They are on a roll, Reggie.
10?
Yeah, they are. Yes, 10 in a row. They're on a roll. They're really clicking here. Making waves, keeping pace with Napoli.
Yep.
Who keep winning and doing their thing. AC Milan.
What'd they do?
Beats Fiorentina.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
Beats Fiorentina.
Yeah.
You know, and the Prince back on the score sheet.
Really? He scored?
Kevin Prince Boateng.
Wow.
So Carlos Bacca scores again. He opens the scoring here with a great ball, I believe, from Jack Bonaventura, I think. But anyway, does you know, a pure striker's goal, number nine type goal. Beats a defender, cuts in, smashes it home.
Right.
But, you know, I think the story here is Kevin Prince Boateng, who's always had... the fans have always loved this guy at AC Milan, scoring goals in the Champions League against Barca and so on. He's always... even as he's left, you know, he was always felt close to... this club, and it was nice to see him score the insurance goal, and he's back, and he made a difference the week before against Roma, came in and kind of changed the game for them, and it's nice to see the Prince Boateng get a goal here, and another pretty nice victory for AC Milan. Fiorentina is struggling a little bit now, the last two results not favorable, but I've been a big fan of them this year, and I'm going to continue to, you know, root for them because Paulo Sousa has them still playing a nice brand. It's still nice to watch them play, and there's word that maybe they're going to get some reinforcements coming, and maybe in the likes of Christian Tao.
How many days are left in the transfer window? Because nothing's happening.
It's not much. What is it? Does it go to like the end of January?
It goes to the 31st.
So, I mean, maybe a lot of the stuff's going to happen late, but there's not much now. A lot of rumors.
Nothing happening out there.
I mean, AC Milan, but since we're on Serie A, they tried to sell Luis Adriano. Please take him. Is what they were saying.
Oh, really?
To a team in China, and it fell through, apparently.
China?
Yeah. So
you can go back to Shakhtar, no?
No, I think... Oh, no, he wanted to go there. I think the money...
Sorry, apparently
the deal fell through.
Going to go play with Paulinho.
Yeah. China. Wow. So, on that note, Reg, some not-so-good news. Mm-hmm. The Coppa Italia was played this week.
Okay.
So again, in the Serie A table, in the league, Napoli continues to reign supreme. But, unfortunately, they dropped a game this week in the Coppa Italia in the quarterfinal.
Right.
To Inter.
Mm-hmm.
So Inter goes through, and they'll play Juventus in the semifinal.
Okay.
Who beat Lazio in the Coppa Italia, so the Italian Cup.
Is the bad news that the Coppa Italia is still going on? Or?
Oh, Reggie. The bad news. The bad news here is, so this coach, this manager has gained a lot of admiration, love, respect, all that stuff, praise for leading Napoli into first place and playing as the winter champions and playing a great brand of football. Maurizio Sarri.
Yes.
But unfortunately...
A little
blemish on his resume this week. So him and Roberto Mancini was asking why all this injury time is being played or whatever, you know, asking the ref something.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarri and him get into it. And unfortunately, it is reported that he used a homophobic slur.
Oh, who did?
Sarri.
Oh, to Mancini.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you never want to see that.
Oh, the touchline.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. And I mean, after, you know, his players are backing him, of course, and saying, you know, it was in the heat of the moment. People say things that, you know, and like, unfortunately, we live in a world where those, you know, slurs are still used as, you know, insults. And anyway, I mean, what else could it be? But he's given a 2-match ban. I mean, I think, you know, we'll talk more about this next week, Reg, as more information comes out. But, you know, you never want to hear that, see that, that stuff. I mean, there's all the standard lines apply here. A really dark blemish on what has been a great season, never mind for the team in Napoli, but for the coach who's, you know, finally got a chance to coach at a quote-unquote bigger club, and this is what we're leaving talking about. So we'll get more information on that.
That's too bad.
That's the bad news. Good news, I mean, great story. Third division,
yes.
Alessandria.
Who?
Oh, Reggie, can you say that one?
Who?
Alessandria. Pretty good.
Thank you.
Third division club.
Yes.
Is in the semifinals
of
the Coppa Italia, Reg.
Against who?
And they'll be playing AC Milan.
Wow.
So what a great story. And then there's a great clip, and hopefully we can put it up, of the team celebrating on the bus. I mean, of course, third division, Reg.
Wow.
Amazing story. Great stuff. They're in the semifinal of the Coppa Italia with the royalty of Italian football.
Mm-hmm.
Juventus will play Inter in what they call the Derby d'Italia, so the Derby of Italy.
I think I'm going to watch that.
Hey, Reg?
I think so.
And then AC Milan gets to play against Alessandria. So what a great story there. So we had the bad, unfortunately, as I say, the bad and the ugly with the Maurizio Sarri situation of the homophobic slur.
Yes.
And then the absolute amazing, probably the best story of almost a year, really, in Italian football, if you would say. One of them is Alessandria in the semifinal of the Italian Cup.
I'm going to remember that name, and I'm going to ask you about it next week. Are they playing this weekend?
I'm not sure, Reg. I think it's next week. It's always a midweek fixture, but I think it's either that or a couple weeks. So we're already at the semifinal stage there.
We'll keep our eye on that, and we'll watch that. And you were speaking about extra time. And I know I was actually texting you during the Everton-Chelsea game.
Right.
What a disaster, eh? And this goes back to a previous podcast we had, and where I said the referees, just like the coaches,
need to be accountable.
Just like the players,
need
to sit down in front of the media and answer questions. To make decisions like that and then just get back in your car and drive home and drink your tea and beer tonight is crazy.
This is, first of all, Reg, it was 7 minutes designated injury time.
It was.
And then they played eight.
And they score, and of course,
John Terry
scores in the eighth minute.
He had two goals in this game.
And he was even for the game, right?
Yeah, putting one in his net.
2 yards offside, too.
No way. Yeah. First of all, he's offside. Yeah. Offside. you're playing all that time, and it's extra, you know, added time, if you will. Mm-hmm. The only problem I have with this, Reggie,
yeah,
I mean, of course I have a problem with all this, is they shouldn't have had that time. And
right.
But, you know, when they asked John Terry, how do you feel about scoring that goal, like, you know, it was offside or, yeah, you know, too much time, what's he supposed to say, Reg? Oh. I mean, he did what he had to do. He scored a goal. He's scoring the goal. The game is played.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we should be focusing on is what you said, you know, like, these referees, I mean, wow, to
it's
play
it's crazy.
First of all, to 7 minutes, and then to play over the 7 minutes,
right,
of an extra, like, a whole extra minute.
Right. It's so bad, Joe.
I mean, what are they all connected for? What are they all, meaning, like, connected in the headsets? Why are they all communicating? What are they talking about? I don't know.
If you're not good enough, you can't ref.
There's got to be more accountability, doesn't there? And listen, there's a lot of refs and a lot of games that are ref the right way. Mm-hmm. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so much on the line. We got to get this right.
Right.
Like, are we not talking about, you know, when is it decided about injury time? Isn't there someone saying, hey, you've played over? Like, something. What are they, like, they have all these connections to, you know, headsets and so on. Like, it's got to be.
Well, what they were saying is that Everton scored in the extra time as well, and their celebration added that minute. That's right. What they were saying.
Now, again, this might seem like I'm making a joke here, but because there was so much of the added time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there another signal of communication that would say, hey, we are playing an extra minute on top of that because of this? Like, yeah, I'm not sure.
Now we're adding extra time to extra time.
I don't know. Chelsea, silly, isn't it?
John Terry scored the goal. Chelsea took about a minute to get everybody back to center. And as soon as they kicked off the ball, the game was over.
Yeah. It's,
so what are we talking about here?
The bottom line is what I'm saying is AC Milan should get as much extra time as they need to score the goals.
There's not enough time in the world for that, is
there? Oh, you're on fire today.
We don't have time for that.
Yeah. But, you know, all kidding aside, it's nonsense to play 7 minutes and then an extra eight. And then to boot, it's clearly offside.
It's 2 yards, Joe.
Yeah.
It's 2 yards offside.
This reminds me of mid-90s AC, Serie A.
Well, we all know what that was about.
No, it's just, and of course it would have to be Chelsea there, right? So,
of course. And The thing that I always say, and this is what we'll end off with, I guess, but the thing I always say is, what if that's Newcastle or Bournemouth or something that's they need 2 points to stay up. The big money's coming next year for the TV contract for the EPL. This is the year that you want to stay up.
Right.
Now, because you can't see an offside or you're adding on extra minutes to and now we tie and I lose those 2 points and we go down. It's crazy, Joe.
It's about getting it right. You're right.
You have to get it right.
With all this big money and what's at stake, it's oof.
And like I said, just to be able to hop in your car or get on the train and go home and continue your life, I need to see NBA referees, NFL referees, soccer referees sit in front of the media 5-10 minutes. How come you didn't call that offside?
Yeah,
Why did you add an extra minute?
Unfortunately, Reggie, I don't think we're going to see that.
No, we're never going to see that.
No.
Never going to see that. The FA, all the FAs, well, not the FA, but they all protect the referees, so whatever. Good show, Joe.
We did a lot today.
Well, we definitely did a lot today. Guys, next week, we have another very informative interview.
First part.
Actually, yeah, right.
Part one.
It was so informative, we had to cut it in two. We didn't, once we get going, Joe, never stops.
We just go. No, we're excited about this one again.
So part one of our interview with, you want to give his name, I guess?
Patrice Geiser, the Vaughan Soccer Club.
Right. So part one of that interview will be next week's show. It'll take up the whole second half of the show. So we'll try to get all our stuff in the first half.
We said 2016 was about bringing on more guests, and so far we've been doing that. So we're going to just try to continue with that, Reg.
Right, definitely. So tune in for that next week. It's very informative, just like if you heard the interview we did with Ilya Orlov. Very informative guy, student of the game. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. We had a great time talking to him.
It was awesome,
yeah. You guys will definitely learn something. He talks more about the youth soccer and he's more in tune with the NCAA and how they're doing things and how we can get our kids down there to further benefit our national team and get soccer really going in this country, because we should be in the top 10, honestly, with what we have here. So,
you know, so we talk about that. We talk about a lot of topics, and it is, like I said, one of the best interviews, you know, we've had, and really informative, and we liked it.
So too. Yeah. So guys, follow us, share, download, listen, Football Weekly.
Get to us
at Football Weekly, FUTBOL_weekly. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM. Tune in. We're everywhere. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.